don't know if my colleague from the philosophy department would object if we voted on it, or do you wish for further revisions? Is this a friendly amendment? Okay.
Okay, we'll take that as an amendment then. Debate on the amendment. All.
Just so we don't sound illiterate, could we not have the words Queens College twice in one sentence? So recital attendance at Queens College starting in their first semester on campus. Or some, or the reverse.
Further debate. Ron, did you have a question? No? All in favor of the amendment?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, unanimous, it carries. So we're back to the original motion that's on the floor, the Undergraduate Curriculum Committee, with item number 3 withdrawn. So we're voting on the rest of the Undergraduate Curriculum Committee minutes. Any further discussion on that? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Graduate Curriculum Committee.
I ask the Senate to adopt and accept the minutes of the Graduate Curriculum Committee, minutes dated September 17, 2014. Move unanimous consent.
Any objections? Motion carries.
Okay. Inadvertently, a part of the minutes of September 17, 2014, the approval of a BAMA program in biology, which was given to you, was left out. And I am asking the Graduate Curriculum Committee, of course, unanimously approve this, and I am asking that the Senate approve the BAMA program in biology.
Any debate?
Move unanimous consent.
No objection. Motion carries.
Thank you.
5C, nominating committee.
Marion Fish, chair of the nominating committee. We're asking for approval for the nominees on the slate for, in this case, the search committee for the Dean of Math and Natural Sciences and for the Honors and Awards Committee that are listed in your documents.
Any objections?
I promise not to speak on the next one. I have nothing against the credentials of anybody on that list. I would like to point out that for the second consecutive dean search, the School of Earth and Environmental Sciences has forwarded names to be considered for the committee, and for the second time, we will not be represented on the search committee.
We did not receive any nominations. I did not receive that, because we took. Actually, these are the only nominees that came in, and we're still missing someone from a representative from education, so we're going to take nominations from the floor. I'm sorry, I did not receive them. Yeah?
I would like to nominate Stephen Faringa. He's a professor of science education and secondary education.
Okay, the motion for the nominating committee, we moved unanimous consent. Any objections? None. Seeing that, the motion passes. We have now on the floor And I know all of you last time went home and did your homework just like me, and you read through the charter, and you read through the bylaws, and you read through the standing rules of the Senate, and we kept repeating, oh no, no, the nominations, no nominations from the floor unless someone had submitted a petition to the nominating committee. Well, one of the things that I know I didn't read, and perhaps a lot of you didn't either, except for Dave, was the Robert Rules of Order. So what has happened is, on this search committee, there was no representative from the education division. And now what we can do, because no one came up through there, Robert Rules of Order allow us to nominate someone from the floor. Leslie.
Yes, I'd like to nominate Dr. Stephen Ferenga, who is professor of science education in the secondary education department.
Any other nominations from the floor? Professor Ferenga's from the education division. Okay, the secretary will cast one ballot then for Professor Ferenga. Next item on the agenda is the Teaching Excellence and Evaluation Committee proposal. What I would like to ask is, anyone who thinks they're going to be talking to this motion, can you please come to the microphones now? Michelle, you're there first. Anyone else come up? And the reason is that we think this might be quite a few people speaking to this motion. This way we can see if we have to limit the time. Okay, I only see five people. Very good.
Okay, I'm Michelle Fraboni, the Committee on Teaching Excellence and Evaluation, and I'm just going to read our proposal. Be it resolved that effective from fall 2014 onwards, deans, department chairs, and those specifically designated by department chairs may also view the written comments made by students on the course and in faculty evaluation questionnaire. Do you want me to read the rationale? I'll read the rationale. Over the past several years, this has been one of the most requested changes in how the results of evaluations are disseminated. We have received numerous and repeated requests from deans and chairs that we make this change. The argument in favor is that it would assist deans and chairs in their responsibility to evaluate teaching and work to improve the quality of classroom instruction at the college.
It's open to debate.
Hi, I'm Jeff Santenstein, lecturer in Accounting Information Systems, alternate senator. I've been very happy with the qualitative comments that I've received over the last several years, and believe me, they haven't all been positive, but I find students are very thoughtful and make very constructive comments that in some cases, you know, results in changes in the way that I go about my teaching. What I was surprised is that I was not aware that deans and chairs did not have that information available to them, so I certainly would favor the proposal. But I would actually go a much further step, and that would be to make it available to students as well, beyond the quantitative numerical rankings that are given. I find that the qualitative comments that students make, I think, are going to be quite helpful to them as well in making their selections of what classes and faculty they should be moving forward with that might better fit their learning style and objectives. So I don't know if that's a possibility to add as a proposed amendment to the proposal.
You can make an amendment.
Okay, then I'd propose that in addition to deans and chairs, that the comments that are made by students be made available as well to all registered students of the college.
Okay, now we'll be debating on the amendment.
I'm not sure if everyone is aware that these results, the quantitative results, are available to the entire universe, including the results of people who are no longer at this college, people who have died, people who were not granted tenure, went on to other jobs. This is problematic. In other schools in CUNY, these results, the quantitative results, never mind even the qualitative results, are available to students through some system like MyQC. So to make qualitative comments available along with the quantitative comments to the entire universe strikes me as troublesome, and I would hope that we would not accept that amendment.
Dean Savage, college-wide at large. The way that students now, or instructors now, get to see the comments, that the prose comments the students make, is to log on to an app with your Queen's College user ID and password, and that's the only way that you would get to see the comments. That's the only way anybody would get to see the comments. Only people who are registered at Queen's College, have a Queen's College computer account, have a Queen's College password, would be able to see the comments. They are not open to the world, and they will not be.
Then I have to ask why people who have died and people who have gone on to successful careers at other schools where they have been granted tenure still have their results available to the public. I believe I was told last week that it was not administratively possible to remove these folks from public access. Now, am I understanding correctly that we could still leave all of that quantitative information available for the entire world, but we'll enable just the qualitative information to be not available to the world?
Further debate on the amendment. Okay, seeing no further debate on the amendment. On the amendment.
I'm not clear, and I'm also short. So I'm Sarah Wolf, the senator from Educational and Community Programs, and I represent special ed. So I have a couple of comments about, which I believe are somewhat related to your question, about the amendment and its wording. And I represent a department and junior faculty, so it's not just me that I'm speaking on behalf of. There are some concerns for how to interpret a few of the, what does it mean designee? So that, for instance, if a chair were to say that a junior faculty person is the designated person who would have access, shall I shut up, Manny? Am I not following?
Sarah, I think you're debating on the proposal and not the amendment.
Is this not the... Okay, well then I would debate that as well. So I could speak to this comment.
Yes.
Okay, so I would say that representing access to folks without disrespecting students, but for folks to have access to the comments that are potentially selectively made without making sure that comments are made by all students participating, those with positive experiences as well as those with potentially negative experiences, this access may or may not inform my practice, let's just say. So if this was, as my colleagues helping me to understand the process, to help folks help my instruction, I'm not sure that wider access is the way to do that. So that's my comment about the amendment to add access. Is that a...
Yes, thank you. Further debate on the amendment.
I just wanted to try to make it a very brief story. My name is Renee Weiss. When I was a first semester doctoral student and was about to take a corporate finance class as a returning student after many, many years away from school. My coordinator called me into his office knowing that I was very nervous about my new role and said, you know, this professor is really has a very difficult reputation with students. He's very curt and very short, and you know, I'm just concerned about how you'll manage in this course. And so, of course, my level of my nervousness intensified exponentially. And I went and I took the course, and I could see why my coordinator was worried about how I would perform in the course. He was very curt. He had quite a number of zingers for me. But at the end of the day, he was, to me, the greatest teacher ever. I had the best learning experience. I came away with more knowledge from that course than I ever expected. And I try to share that story with students as well, that yes, students have different styles, different learning modes, different expectations about courses, but I try to encourage students not to register for a course because of what they've read or heard about the faculty member, but go in with an open mind that faculty here want to teach and want students to learn. And if you go in wanting to learn, you will, regardless of what comments might have been said by other students.
Further debate on the amendment?
This is about the amendment.
Yes.
You can go first. Are you sure? Hi, I'm Leslie Gray from Secondary Education. You know, we already have a website that exists in the internet called RateMyProfessor.com, where students can say whatever they want, right? Okay. So, you know, if a student wants to register for a course based on a professor's looks, they can find this information on Rate My Professor. I think it's completely inappropriate to bring those comments and make them an institution, make them part of access through our institution. This is an institution of learning. It's not a party. it's not a beauty contest. And I think it's students write some very sexist comments on these evaluations, and to make them part of access for all students, I think, would be a mistake.
Okay. My name is Erica Davis. I'm Secretary of the Academic Senate. I just think that the comment made before I step up doesn't give credit enough to the students. That assumes that everybody is going to make sexist comments and use this forum as an opportunity to say things that are offensive and completely irrelevant. And I think that there are students who are thoughtful, who put a lot of mind into those comments and in wanting to prepare people for potential professors that they could have in the future. Things that are actually of quality, things that are actually relevant to what it would be like to be in that classroom experience. And I think that to take that small subset of people who are vindictive and using that as an outlet to get out their anger is to not give enough credit to the students of Queens College. Thank you.
Hi. I'm Chris Labial, freshman, sophomore rep, student senate. I totally agree with Erica. The only reason things like Rate My Professor are used so popularly by students is because information like teacher evaluations aren't public to us. We don't have anything else to rely on. And honestly, when we fill out those teacher evaluations, we take it much more seriously than what people write on Rate My Professor. Like it's a more professional form. It's more necessary for us to like take seriously, especially since it's directly our local peers who are making sure that each and every one of us like has a fair chance of getting a good education like within our university. And also another piece of public information that a lot of students use is the site that shows the grades from every professor's class. That's debatably, like, that should be private. Some professors think it should be private. But like that's another thing that we've resorted to since these teacher evaluations aren't available to us. I don't see much harm in this amendment, and if anything, I think it would help the students a lot. Thank you.
Further debate on the amendment?
Omri Alicia, anthropology. I am fully in support of taking seriously student evaluations, and I have the greatest faith and trust in students in taking it seriously. And I think possibly under other circumstances, I might feel more inclined towards this amendment. Today, however, I don't feel inclined towards this amendment because I feel like it addresses a fundamentally different issue than the proposal that was put before us is addressing. The proposal that was put before us is about improving the quality of classroom instruction, helping deans and chairs in their responsibility to evaluate teaching and work to improve the quality of classroom instruction at the college. That particular need is not served by allowing students to have access to the written evaluations. So I feel like this is a democratic body, and I feel that I'm a representative to my department. I don't know how my department would feel about this amendment, and I feel a little bit blindsided by the idea that I should have to vote on this particular amendment, not having heard the voice of my colleagues on an issue which is really, like I said, quite different from, I think, what is proposed here, and I think should be a different proposal.
Further debate on the amendment?
Yes, Christopher Wink's comparative literature, I agree with what my colleague just said. It substantially spoke to what I was going to say. But I also wanted to add another thing. Sometimes, especially in my case, when one teaches courses on like slavery, colonialism, and world cultures, controversial matters will in fact come up. And sometimes there are students who don't like to have their preconceptions tested excessively, and sometimes it becomes a matter of shooting the messenger. I'm not saying that this is universal, because sometimes we can have evaluations that are like, I can't believe this is about the same person, right? They're wildly contrasting. And my fear is that this can be potentially used to mute controversy in the classroom, because then people say, well, you know, we have to watch out because otherwise people won't take our class if they think it's controversial, or if the, you know, if they say, oh, the grading's too hard or something like that. So I think in order to avoid any sense of catering, which is a form of condescension to the students, this amendment should be completely stricken from the record, and I do feel myself blindsided. I'm in support, I might say, of the proposal as it stood, but I can't in good conscience, for the sake of a truly critical education, support this kind of access, which could too often lead to abuses. Thank you.
Further debate on the amendment?
Call the question.
All in favor of calling the question? Aye. Okay. Raise your clickers. All those opposed, please raise your clickers. Again, we're voting. Call the question. It passes. Okay, now we're going to vote on the amendment. So the paragraph as written up here, we've added the phrase registered Queens College students. If you're in favor of the amendment, you're going to vote.
Can we do clickers?
We can do clickers on this. You're going to vote number one. If you're against the amendment, you're going to vote number two. If you abstain, number three, everyone understand, we're voting on the amendment. Yes, we're voting on the amendment now, and what was written in yellow, the phrase...
It was an all-registered Queens College student.
An all-registered Queens College students. If you're in favor of the amendment, you're going to vote yes, number one. Opposed, no, number two. Abstain, number three. All votes are in. The amendment fails, so we're back to the original motion, the one you have in front of you that you got. Further debate on the original motion.
So, Megan Healy, drama. I want to say that I am not philosophically opposed to the content of this proposal, and I can speak forcefully since I'm going up for tenure this semester, so I just printed out a million pieces of paper in some crazy forest murdering nonsense so that people can read information that they could look at on the computer. And I personally don't feel that there's any reason why I would not want anybody to look at my evaluations. I'm speaking for myself personally. But I don't know if I can support this proposal because I feel very strongly that right now, the burden of students filling out their evaluations is placed solely and only on the faculty and not on them at all. And we have a very low rate of return, especially when those of us who have been in this body since we first passed the measure to move from the Scantron sheets to the electronic, we've been getting way lower numbers. I have stood in front of my class and taken time out of class and asked them to do the evaluations online, and what they did instead was like tweeted, went on Facebook, did email or something else, because in order to preserve their privacy, I have to stand at the front of the room, because if I stand behind them, it means I can look at their private evaluation forms. That's not honest, it's not fair to the students. In the Senate body, we had students who were complaining because their teacher stood at the front of the room and counted the number of evaluations that were coming into the site, and the students felt pressured, they felt angry, they felt frustrated that the teacher was taking time out of class. But the fact of the matter is, you've all spoken so passionately about how important this is to you, but only like 20% of you are doing it. So I'm not blaming those of you sitting in this room, but I'm saying to you that you need to pass on to the other students the importance and passion for filling these things out. If you want this information, you are the ones who are actually supposed to be doing this. Your professors are being punished, they're being chastised, they're being criticized in their formal letters of reappointment if they get low return. And then there's the frustration of taking precious class time to do it and having 15 kids not do it. That's enormously frustrating as a professor. And really, it's actually not our responsibility to do that. I'm sorry, but it is your responsibility to do that. And I really feel that the Committee on Teaching Excellence and Evaluations needs to address this. It needs to stop being our problem, and it needs to start being on the students. They get free iPods, free printing, free whatever, and we just get punished or not punished.
They take it all away. You get nothing.
Great, well, but you don't get punished. Your professors actually get punished if you don't do your evaluations. So we never got free iPads or free printing if more students filled out the evaluations. And I don't like the idea of offering students extra credit for doing their evaluations. I don't offer them extra credit ever, even to do academic work. So I am for sure never gonna offer extra credit for filling out an online form. And as you can tell, it's something that I feel quite impassioned about, and I'm actually quite angry about the situation. I totally support the system of student evaluation. I think everybody should be able to look at it and should be very transparent, but we need to get closer to a much, much higher level of participation on the part of the students, and it needs to stop being the faculty's problem.
Every now and then, I think I've been here too long, and you may agree with me. And I've got a student in the room, so I have to be careful about what I'm going to say. But I've been in the Senate for something like 35 years, And I remember when student evaluations first came up, and we were assured that in no way would these student evaluations ever be used for tenure and promotion decisions. They are now required in all of our tenure and promotion papers. So I would say that the original vote of this body, the assurance given to the senators, the students, and the faculty in the room, that these evaluations would never be used against or for faculty, for that matter, has been abrogated. I mean, we've been lied to, and so this is all moot. We shouldn't be doing it anyway. However, I'm not naive enough to think that's going to happen. So we've got it. It's part of the tenure package. It's part of the promotion package. Let me wear several different, I've worn several different hats here. I was chairman of my department for 13 years. I guided several people through tenure and promotion, and I would speak to people about, you're a terrible teacher based on everything I read. You better do something about it. I was assistant provost for 2 years, and for 1 year I was provost. I've been on all sides of this argument. I think it's important that the people who are judging faculty members for tenure or promotion know what they're doing as teachers. I think not just, I think the chairman, I think the departmental P&B, certainly the tenure committee at the college gets to read all of these things. So yes, I think it's necessary because it is our job to see to it that the students have the best possible educators helping them learn. I would, in principle, be all for this proposal, except for what Professor Healy just mentioned. We get, what was the latest return, Dean? Well, I would be much happier with this proposal if there was some stipulation that the number, the percentage, be 100%. I don't know how you do it. My understanding from discussions on the executive committee is that there are schools in which every student is required to do this. And I would feel much happier. I've been to hatemyprofessor.com, and I've read, my department does evaluations internally within the department. And I read my evaluations, and I take them very seriously. I don't take seriously the one that said of one of my colleagues who's 6'9", he's too tall. Those we don't listen to. But I will tell you right now, including my own student, that I'm either loved or hated. I'm either very tough or very nice. It's a bimodal distribution. And I'll tell you right now, I'm tough. I'm good, but I'm tough. And a lot of people don't like that I'm tough and that they may fail the course. And I want 100% representation or very close to it before I can vote for this proposal. I don't know if it's possible. If I could, I would make an amendment saying if there was 100% participation by the students. I'm told that that's not feasible, but if it were possible, I would make that amendment.
Betsy Hendry, acting provost, and I do support the proposal, and partly because of what Professor Healy said, which is that she printed out, well, and I'd like to find a way where you don't print them, but she printed them out and they're looked at tenure time. In other words, this should be an ongoing process. The chair, the dean should have access to these, because what we want, you don't want to have somebody come up to tenure and you look at the comments, which are thoughtful, most are thoughtful, there are some ones that are not so much, but most are thoughtful and do give you additional information besides the quantitative results and can help to guide the faculty. So I would argue that the chairs and the deans and others that need to see it should see it from the beginning. So if there's an issue, it can be addressed. The faculty member can go on to improve their teaching, which is what we all want, rather than coming to it in the seventh year and say, oh, look at what these comments are saying. So I would support it. I would also support any kind of effort that would raise the response rate, because it is a concern that you don't want students to be judged as, I mean, I think Rate My Professor too, those who are very negative or those who are very positive, but not necessarily those in the middle.
So Natalia Holtzman, a representative from the biology department.
I think that we need to separate the response rate from this motion. While I think it's very important to improve the response rates, and perhaps we can request that the Committee for Teaching Excellence and Evaluation come up with some proposals that they bring to us in the future to encourage that, I don't think that that needs to be brought in here. I think that by requiring that as a component, we're undermining the value of the comments that have been made by the students that have put in a conscious effort. I think those comments should be seen and appreciated and used to evaluate the faculty for themselves, for their teaching, and also by their higher-ups in tenure and promotion. So I support this motion to value the students' comments and learn from them.
Hi, my name is Bundy Koroveshi, College at Large. I'm part of the math department, and like my previous colleague here, it's my tenure year, and I have no problem with anybody reading comments about myself. But in my classes, since I studied math, only one or two people respond per class. So it's not necessarily statistically fair to take two people's advice from 30 people in a class. So we could tie up the response rate to their getting a grade at the end of the semester. Like, you don't only get a letter grade if you filled up this questionnaire. I'd be fine. I'd be pro for everything you said. And that's my only concern, basically. If we tie it up, you get a grade as long as you get your, you know, comments back to me, then we'll be fine. I have no problem, and we can add it as a, you know, amendment or whatever. I'm not against anything in the proposal per se, but clearly I like more sort of representation, because only one, two people per class is very hard to describe anything else. And I have no problem with the comments that the students make, because I'm happy with what they are. And that's why my comment is. Sure.
One of the things the Committee on Teaching Excellence has labored with over the years, we've done every damn thing we can think of to try to get the response rates increased. And one thing that happened at Brooklyn is that they have early access to grades if you complete all your evaluations. Sure. We said, great, let's go ahead and do that here. CUNY First does not permit that.
Okay. Take it up with CUNY First.
Yeah, and so now it's not as if the system is incapable of doing it. It's just that the people at CUNY First do not have this on their list of priorities. We had an arrangement for a free printing credit. That was an incentive. We did lotteries, and we've tried everything we can, and including haranguing the faculty to encourage their students, which has produced some of the results you've heard about today. Faculty get pissed off after a while when they get reminded too often, and so we've tried to go light on that. But we really have worked on this, and we welcome suggestions. I would love to see the response rate get up there, but the majority of classes that are evaluated have reached that magic number of 10, at which point the evaluation stabilizes. We generally don't see bimodal distributions.
Yes, just very briefly this time. I think that the resolution is good insofar as it permits a meeting, you know, with the between the professor and the department chair, so that the professor can respond to the evaluations as well as time goes on. So I think that has to be emphasized instead, right, of that 7 years, you know, where all of a sudden, bang, here it all is. And I think it should actually start at the department chair level before it goes up to the decanal level, but that's just a detail.
Sarah Wolf again. I think part of the language I responded to prematurely that could be enhanced more simply is if we would remove the phrase "those specifically designated by department chairs" and replace it with "voting P&B members," because it takes away some of the objectionable with whom are they being shared and in what way will they be used, because P&B members, voting P&B members for faculty, deans, and department chairs, that makes perfect sense. So I think that's what I would have said when I was in the right frame. I would, so yes, that's an excellent idea. I would make that as an amendment to the language enclosed. Thank you, sir.
Second on the amendment?
Great, but at least that's what I thought.
Seconded. The amendment now is open for debate.
There's another person in my department that I would like to have access besides voting members of P&B, and that's the faculty member's mentor. Faculty member's mentor does not have the threatening aspect that a dean, that a chairman does, or that perhaps a voting member of PNB does. But in our department, we have people who are not members of PNB who are mentors, and it's their job to help the faculty member get better. And that person should certainly be able to see it. And if we start listing all the people who should see it, this is going to be a very long amendment. So I'm going to vote against the amendment and leave it as it is.
So if I were a department chair and I wanted my students to see it, since it says those specifically designated by department chairs, I say, okay, those are all the students in the entire world. So how about, Sarah, how about, and those faculty specifically designated by department chairs in that way, addressing the needs that were just mentioned, but eliminating the possibility for my brother-in-law to see these results. Well then, how about, and those tenured faculty members specifically designated by department chairs?
I respond to the previous comment. What if we simply removed the designee part of the motion and had it be deans and department chairs and just left it at that? Is that acceptable? Not acceptable?
And if I can raise a technical point, untenured faculty can be members of the PNB and do have the right to vote on tenure and promotion to associate professor. So if you say tenured members, that wipes that out.
Okay. I'll leave it the way it is.
Okay, let me read the amendment, the first paragraph. Be it resolved that starting with the evaluations from fall 2014 onwards, voting PNB members and tenured faculty designated by department chairs may view the written comments made by students on the course and faculty evaluation questionnaire. This is the amendment that's on the floor now.
I would like to call a question.
Calling the question takes a 2/3 votes. All in favor, please raise your clickers. Okay, we need 31, so we're back to the debate on the original amendment.
Okay. Natalia Holtzman from biology, just a question on the amendment. With the addition of the words tenured, I find it difficult that a PNB is going to be able to have a discussion on the comments put forward if there's a member of the PMB that is not tenured. So I personally would request that that be stricken from the language, but I know there are people who feel strongly about that. So if someone could clarify why it's crucial that only tenured faculty members. Can we see the language of the amendment? I believe that tenure was a requirement in the,
No, with the amendment we had PNB voting PNB members and tenured faculty designated by the department chairs.
Okay.
So untenured people would have been allowed to look at it if they were on the PMB.
So the PMB, if they're untenured, it's fine outside. Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Kevin Ferguson, Department of English. I'm in favor of the proposal, but in English, we have people who are not on the PMB, who are not tenured, who look at assigning courses and evaluations and teaching for our many, many adjuncts. So there would be people that wouldn't be included in the amendment language. So I would vote against the amendment, but for the proposal.
Further debate.
Point of order, is a substitute amendment possible?
Primary amendments, you can't do a substitute when there's an amendment on the floor, no. You got to
I have to vote the amendment down.
Yes.
And then it.
Gotcha.
Further debate.
Can we discuss the proposal? Can we still talk about the proposal, not the amendment?
No further debate then on the amendment. Let's vote on it. Can we use clickers on this? So one, you'd be voting yes for the amendment. Two, no. Three would be abstain. Let's use the clickers. Be it resolved that starting with the evaluations from fall 2014 onwards, voting PNB members and tenured faculty designated by department chairs may view the written comments made by students on the course and faculty evaluation questionnaire. Right. The amendment was, I'll reread that, voting PNB members and tenured faculty designated by department chairs. That's the amendment. Everyone's finished voting? Okay, let's get the tallies. Doesn't pass. We're back to the original motion.
I'll try an amendment. That the group of people that should, basically to the effect that the group of people that should be able to view this be deans, personnel and budget committees, that includes the chairman, so there's no need to specify the chairman separately. Mentors be permitted to see.
Debate on this.
Yes. I think those specifically designated by department chairs is vague because there are no criteria. Department chairs can be arbitrary when they appoint someone. What are the criteria when which members of the faculty have access to this privileged information, and why other members of the faculty should not? So are there any criteria? Is it the department chair just decides about that?
Further debate.
Actually, I want to motion to table it. I feel like it needs more discussion, and maybe it'll give the Senate more time to think about it and maybe come up with better stuff.
Okay, tabling is not debatable. Keep in mind that this would have required a 31 votes to pass, and it looks like we're at about 35 now, total senators. So, table. Vote yes or no. We can use clickers again. We're tabling the table the proposal. Thank you. Table failed. We're back to the original motion.
I'd like to move to refer this back to the committee. I think we've heard enough discussion about the possibilities, and we're coming to the danger of legislating something on the floor of the Senate that requires some very tricky wording. And I don't think we're going to get anywhere with that. And it should go, the committee's heard. I think it should go back to the committee. And I move unanimous consent.
Any objections to unanimous consent? Seeing none, then this will be sent back to committee. Next item on the agenda is old business, number 6A, Committee on Athletic Policy, Student Election. This does not allow any nominations from the floor. The person, the student on the CAP, Committee on Athletic Policy, Elsie Bookmiller.
Move unanimous consent.
All in favor?
Unanimous objection. Any objection?
Any objections? Seeing none, unanimous consent. Elsie Bookmiller is elected. Item 6B, the nominating committee election. This has been carried over since the May meeting. This requires nominations from the floor, student at large. Nominations?
Do we have 31 people? Okay. I'd like to nominate myself, Xenia Coquino.
Any? Okay. Yeah, no further nominations. They're closed. I ask the secretary to cast one ballot for Xenia Coquininos. And?
Motion to adjourn.
All right. Yes, unanimous consent. Aye, aye, aye.